Hey, listeners, if you may have noticed, I accidentally used the wrong Grodan for the header image. So, oops.
Images here in the studio.
Approximately 7 hours ago, something attacked the city. I don't know what it is.
Welcome to Tokyo Lives, the Giant Monsters podcast, where the hosts truly believe that one day monsters shall rise from the sea and destroy us all. I'm Marissa.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Cameron.
And I'm Rob.
And today, damn! Or, you know, in layman's terms, destroy all monsters!
Yeah!
Oh, sound a little more excited.
That's maximum excitement for
you.
Have you not heard me on this podcast before?
I've got the devil's hand around my throat.
Oh, fair.
We're going to get to our news, but I have a little Tokyo tidbit about this episode that I found out. We are recording this the day after the 48th anniversary of Destroy All Monsters. Completely unintentional on our part. We had no idea.
Not true. I'm a witch. I just know things.
Yeah,
just just a little bit of witchery.
It was really weird because yesterday I was on Facebook. I knew we were recording today, and I saw someone post that it was the 48th anniversary. I was like, wait, what? And I had to look it up and make sure. And I was like, oh, that's just the weirdest thing in the world. Like, this was completely unintentional. Like, we weren't even going to do Destroy All Monsters at first in May.
And then I changed my mind.
Marissa changed her mind at the last minute. There you go.
Varon saved us.
Varon saved us all.
Yeah.
Just like he saved the world in this movie. Spoilers.
Yes. Keeping with the theme of this month, that we're doing this movie because Varon is in this movie. We'll talk about that later.
I just love hate him so much.
Also, apparently I said we'll talk about that later, so we all need to take
Zing.
A shot.
Now it's known. It's a known quantity.
It's a known thing. Before we get to the news, I am going to talk about something that I forgot to mention last episode. We got called out on something that I mistakenly said.
There is no we. There is only Kyle.
Yeah. Okay, I mistakenly said it. Cameron, it was actually on an episode that you were on too, so I'm glad you're here for us to talk about it.
What?
Apparently, back on the episode of Gamera versus Gauss, I was mentioning, we were talking about the Godzilla anime, and that Dogoro is going to be in it, and I mistakenly said that they are the same movie, Space Amoeba and Dogoro. I said they are the same movie.
Oh.
They are not. They are different films. The monsters I was describing, because I was saying that Dogoro turn into the squid thing, and Kamibus and the lobster thing, but that's a completely different movie. My bad, guys. Sorry, I made the mistake, but I have never seen either of those films before, so I'm not trying to excuse myself, but I'm just saying it is a little confusing when Dogoro is a space amoeba and there is a movie called Space Amoeba that does not have a space amoeba in it, as far as I can tell. Now, I may be wrong on that too, but like I said, I haven't seen the movie.
I was raised Catholic, so I live consumed by guilt. So while you made the mistake, I feel like I let it happen. So.
Yeah.
Because you've seen those movies, or at least one of them, right?
Yeah, I've seen Space Amoeba.
And you didn't jump in at all. You
I
let him be wrong.
A thing.
I think that Cameron wanted you to suffer.
He wanted me to fail.
Knowing full well what the internet would do to you.
No, he was very nice about it, so I just wanted to acknowledge it. I wish I had its name pulled up, but unfortunately I can't find the Facebook post, because it was, you know, it's like three episodes ago, so I have no idea where it is. I do appreciate it. If you're listening to the podcast, I do appreciate you calling us out on it. I've never proclaimed to be an expert on every single giant monster movie out there. I've still got quite a few that I have not seen.
Which I plan to solve at least one of those riddles in
coming soon.
In a few months, so.
All right, let's talk about the actual news this week. We've got quite a few little news bits here. First one is a kind of a continuation on the news bit from last week. We were talking about how Shin Godzilla's release date was hinted at pretty much the day after we recorded. and we, in the on the website, on the post for it, we actually gave the date.
Yeah.
But literally like a day after we recorded, they announced the official date for Shin Godzilla. We were laughing about it pretty hardcore.
I think we're trendsetters.
Yeah, totally. We asked Funimation the question and they answered.
I'm glad. Like, if it wasn't for Tokyo Live stepping up,
we would never know.
Asking the hard questions.
This puts a lot of pressure on us, though. From now on. We know they're listening.
Yeah.
Send in your questions and we'll ask. Shin Godzilla is releasing on August 1st in America on Blu-ray, digital, all the good stuff. I mean, I know I said it last time, but we're going to do something for it.
You guys know what this means.
What?
We're finally going to get our hands on some sweet, sweet second form merchandise. I just want a t-shirt.
What is his name? Kamada-kun? I prefer to call him
Shin-Chan Godzilla.
Shin-Chan Godzilla is just Shin Godzilla because he appeared in that episode of Shin-Chan.
I've decided to change things.
I'm just really looking forward to the VHS release of Shin Godzilla.
Of course, yes.
So,
you know, those are going to be worth money one day. Yeah, so sure. If we can get our hands on a few copies.
Hold on to them.
You guys hear about VHS. It's Laserdisc. Y'all got to catch up.
But yeah, so it is August 1st. I'm sure we will do something. I don't know when. I don't know if we're going to do it close to the release or maybe a little bit later in that month. But we are going to do some sort of special thing for Shin Godzilla just because it is the latest Godzilla movie to come out, so it is kind of important.
Okay, guys, hear me out. One of the things I just talked about, like in not the last episode but the episode before it, which was basically like Kong is a franchise that just is constantly reiterating itself in different like formats. We're getting a King Kong musical.
Yeah.
On Broadway. We're getting Turn Out the Kong. Turn off the Kong. I don't go to plays.
I just
very
hope
frequently.
Kong sings. I just but when I do,
I'll make an outing for this.
I for sure will. Yeah, I don't know.
If it comes down south, well, I think we'll all go. But yes. I'm pretty sure it's going to be only in New York for now.
I sincerely hope they don't write any new music for this, but just get by using public domain songs.
Yes.
Perfect. See Kong, the Mighty Marvel, sing
just use like
Turkey
the,
in the Straw.
Just use like the 1933 like splash screens that would come up back in the day. Just read those out. That's all the musical is.
It's so bad that I don't want this musical to be successful. I want it to be such a train wreck that tickets are so cheap.
I want it to be a smash hit.
I think it's going to be a smash hit.
If it's a smash hit, then it winds up in Austin eventually. So we'll be able to
take it on the road.
If it is the Spider-Man musical, Turn Out the Dark, it will die and disappear. And like
critically acclaimed, though.
Kill a handful of actors. remove a few limbs.
There was actually a picture of the puppet that they're going to start using.
Is that actually it, or is that from some like low budget?
I think it's a prototype puppet.
Off-Broadway Turn Off the Con?
No, I think it's literally supposed to be like a prototype. Of the giant puppet that they're going to use for it. And
okay.
I mean, it looks okay. I mean, it's a Broadway musical. I mean, I'm surprised it looks as good as it does. But yeah, I'm interested to see where this goes. It kind of news came out of nowhere. There was no like
fanfare.
Like, it was just like, Kong musical 2018. Wait, what?
I don't know. Let's make a musical. I don't know.
Yeah, how long has it been in production? I wonder. Like, who wrote the script? Who's writing the songs? Who's casting?
It might have been around for a while.
I'm almost entirely sure that this is the guys who are making the Kong TV show. After they figured out, like, oh, we're gonna get sued. Let's just make a musical. No one will sue us for a musical. This is the producers, but starring King Kong.
Yeah,
yeah.
This is their attempt.
If we go bankrupt,
it's got
springtime for Kong in Germany.
How did he get there? Who took him to Germany?
He just used the balloons, guys.
The balloons. It's always the balloons. That's a good explanation for anything. So the last pieces of news are all from Godzilla King of the Monsters. We're really ramping up with news on this. We're getting close. I think the production starts June 19th. So we're getting close to the movie starting actually filming, at least principal photography. So I expect that we are going to continue getting little pieces of leaked news throughout the summer, I would guess, which is great because we need more news to leak to us because we have nothing to talk about most of the time.
Give us some filler.
So first of all, I want to talk about some great casting that happened. Charles Dance, a.k.a. Tywin Lannister from Game of Thrones.
Oh, I was going to say the completely wrong name. Like, in my head, I was like, actually, it's Tyrion.
See, that's what I wanted to say, too, but it's Tywin. It's their father.
Tyrion's the good one.
Yeah. The one who dies on the toilet?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Spoilers, I guess.
Who hasn't seen
season? That's like three seasons ago, I guess, at this point.
It's been years.
It's been years. But yeah, he's cast in the film. Of course, it's an undisclosed role, just like everybody else that's been cast in the film. I think he's going to be the leader of Monarch. I think with the kind of villainous role that he can play, I think that he would be a great leader of the CD organization.
Where do you get these ideas from?
Because, like, okay, if they're going to... If my theory stands correct, and they're going to set up Mechagodzilla for the next film, like, they're going to use this film to make it so that Monarch convinces the government that these monsters need to be destroyed. Like, we need to find a way to kill them. And they come up with this project, Mechagodzilla. You need someone heading that
every
project.
Monster.
Yeah, you need someone heading that project. Monster. And he's a great villain. I mean, it's not going to be Serizawa. It's not going to be Kim Watanabe. He's going to be the one fighting for the monsters being there. So I think he would be great for that. I don't know if that's what he's going to play. He might play Millie Bobby Brown's grandfather, for all I know.
He could play Millie Bobby Brown.
He could play just like an extra in the background that just like shows up and goes, Godzilla, and then gets stepped on.
It's just my job as Kyle's wife to poke holes in every theory he comes up with. I just have to keep his hopes really low because he likes to come up with these grand, like, oh, I swear Bryan Cranston's going to have the biggest role in Godzilla 2014. And then he walks out of the movie.
I was so sad. I was always suspicious about Bryan Cranston's full role in that movie.
You were never suspicious.
No, I was, because Aaron Taylor Johnson is listed first on the credits. And I was like, we haven't seen him in any of the trailers. Where is he?
He's in the other two-thirds of the movie.
We'll talk about that when we talk about Godzilla 2014 sometime in the future.
Oh, Kick-Ass. That's who. I had no idea.
I know, we're just throwing names around. I don't know actors.
He's one of the Quicksilvers.
Evan Peters is Quicksilver. He's just a guy that ran fast in Sokovia.
Not fast enough, though.
Yeah, so... So Charles Dance has been cast. This next piece of news came yesterday, and we haven't seen anything from it yet, so I'm not actually convinced, because there's only one day left of this exposition. But there's a licensing expo that Warner Brothers is throwing, and all the superhero properties that they have are there. But a little nice piece of news is that Rampage and Godzilla King of the Monsters are both at that expo in some way, shape, or form. Now, one of the most important things about the licensing expo is this is how we got our first look at 2014 Godzilla back before we even had a poster or anything, was a image leaked of what 2014 Godzilla was going to look like. So a lot of people are wondering, we don't know about the security level of this place or if it's crazy or anything like that, but if there is some sort of like, maybe there's some licensing images of like what they're thinking for Ghidorah, Mothra, and Rodan, it is possible that within tomorrow we may get some leaked photo from the licensing expo.
One day.
Rampage is a lot closer, so we may get something from Rampage.
I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that when Kyle posted an article about this in the Tokyo Lives business chat, so that we could all read it, I opened it in another window on my laptop and immediately missed the point.
Yeah. I think I was the first person to respond and say, there's some King of the Monsters shit.
Yeah.
Plays right over that.
Cameron commented. And it was just like talking about Aquaman and Justice League. And then Marissa was like, there's some King of the Monster stuff. And I was like, Cameron totally missed the point. And he was just like, he went back and reread through it. He was like, oh.
Well, I mean, you know, if you put in Jason Momoa or a mannequin that looks like Jason Momoa, that's the first thing I'm going to see.
Yeah.
He's such a heartthrob.
Oh, man. He's dreamy.
We should stress something. Now, we're not condoning that if you have a pin camera or some other small recording device that you go to this event and record any kind of footage and then give it to us as soon as possible. We're not condoning that. We're not saying that you should totally do that and that we would respect you if you were to do it.
We're not even saying this episode will be out in time for you to do that.
No, it may not be. I don't know when this event's happening.
We are not saying that we will. I don't know how to put winks or air quotes over the air, but no, it is just interesting that this stuff is happening. Godzilla 2 is so far out at this point. Like, it's starting to shoot in June, but it's still supposed to not be released until 2019. So it's kind of crazy that they're even starting to throw some info around about it at all.
Just enough time for me to get hyped.
Yeah.
And again, we are not condoning
any elaborate heist-like
plans or any hijinks. We're not asking you to form a team of your closest, variously talented friends.
Anyway.
Is there any other news?
Yeah, there's one last piece of Godzilla 2 news. So yesterday afternoon, Michael Daughtry has been really great about responding to people on Twitter. It's kind of been amazing. Like, people have been asking him questions that no one would think he would answer, and he's answered them. He's just been like, you know, one word answer. He doesn't get into details or anything like that.
Sure.
He just, he posts
yeah,
emojis.
Like literally he'll just say yes, no.
Leave me
yes.
alone.
Like that's how we got a...
How did you get this number?
That's how we got confirmation that Tom Woodruff Jr., who has worked on a lot of Stan Winston stuff back in the day and a lot of like the Alien series and stuff like that, is the one of the designers and stuff on Godzilla 2. Part of that news, somebody saw that confirmation and decided to be like, hey, Michael Daughtry, I wonder if you could confirm if there's going to be any practical monster effects in Godzilla 2.
Huh.
And he said, yes. Which is really interesting. And it's really exciting, kind of, to a certain extent. I know that a lot of, like, hardcore, like, purist Godzilla fans, which I'm not one of them, were really butthurt about Godzilla 2014 having no giant monster effects that were practical. I understand why there wasn't any. I mean, if you're not going to do the whole movie as a man in a suit, it's going to be real tough to shoehorn, like, a here's a real Godzilla foot. You know, like, that's kind of tough to do. Also,
you can always do the tail.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. I mean, but the budget...
like, cut to 54 tails flopping around.
I mean, he didn't say it was going to be fresh shot.
That's true. It could just be flashbacks. But
didn't
no.
say whose practical effects
yeah.
it was going to be.
Yeah, and also that's another thing, too. It could be some practical, like, Mothra larva stuff. Like, whenever Mothra's, like, a little larva. or something. Okay. We don't know. We have no idea. But it's cool. It's a cool little piece of news. Yeah. Michael Daughtry is famous for how he does his practical and CG mixing. With Krampus and Trick or Treat, both have really good practical effects that mix well with CG. I mean, Krampus itself is a giant mix of
yeah.
CG plus practical. So yeah, it's exciting news. We're getting all these little news bits, which is great for us, but I mean, like, we have really no context at all. We don't even know the story of yeah. it yet. I don't imagine we will until maybe Comic-Con of this year. Maybe they'll have something to tease, especially if they're doing this expo right now.
Yeah,
they may actually have some sort of big tease for us, especially trying to boost the sales for Kong Skull Island's DVD as well, I would bet. But you never know. We'll see what happens. That's Comic-Con's in July, I think, so we'll see what happens. But that's all the big news points. Still waiting on anime news. Hopefully we'll get something for that soon, like a trailer would be really nice.
Yeah.
But anyway, are we ready to talk about damn Destroy All Monsters?
Wait. All right, I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to take our usual 10-15 second break, and we will be right back.
Welcome back to Tokyo Lives Podcast, where today we're talking about damn.
Yep, destroy all monsters. We're destroying all the monsters.
That startled me.
I'm looking for any excuse to curse on this podcast.
The 1968 Ishiro Honda directed Destroy All Monsters.
I need to stress, I never put that together other than when I was making the like banner logo for this episode because I got lazy and I didn't want to, like, I was like, Rodan, Destroy All Monsters. And the second one, I was like, DAM. And then, like, I have a million images on my desktop that are just like, monster name Dam, monster name Dam, monster name Dam.
Kyle's gonna run down the plot for everyone, so sit and listen, children.
All right, let me tell you a story.
All about how my life got flipped.
We're not doing that.
Let's tell you how I became the unbelievable Varan.
The year is 1999, and the United Nations Space Corps, not from Halo.
Actually, it's the United Nations Science Corps.
Oh, well.
That's how it's different.
Also not from Halo.
Different UNSC.
So we've established a moon base, and we've also established this place called Monsterland, where we captured all of Earth's monsters, put them on an island, and keep them contained by pheromones. Bad stuff happens. Essentially, the command center gets, like, mustard gassed, and all the monsters get knocked out, too. So they send a signal back up to the moon, and they're like, hey, guys.
You missed the part where we go to the moon.
The
opening credits that last for like a few minutes, it's like, preparing for launch, we're flying to the moon now, and they set up all this like stuff to go to the moon, then they launch, and then smash cut, we're on Monster Island.
Yeah.
So just like,
just keep that in mind.
I had whiplash at that point because I was like, wait. Okay.
Yeah, so the main character, Chick, is in the command center, and she gets mustard gassed with everybody else. Her boyfriend is up on the moon. He's the pilot of the SY-3, and we were all making fun of him because he has, like, really wide, like, his eyes are set a weird part in a weird way in his skull.
You know how most grazing animals have their eyes, like, on the side of their head so they can see in all directions?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah.
He was a first form Gauss.
Wow. Anyway, they get a message from, I guess, the people inside of, like, I don't know, wherever the United Nations thing is. And they're like, hey, people on the moon, can you come down to Earth to check out what's going on Monsterland? And I had a big contention with this.
Why can't they do it?
They're busy doing Earth stuff.
I guess.
It's the United Nations, Kyle. They got a lot to do.
They show a helicopter flying to Monster Island in the very beginning, but apparently,
you can't do that again.
No, that was their only helicopter. That was the last helicopter.
And then everyone got mustard gassed, so obviously the pilot's dead.
Anyway, so the spaceship comes back down. They get back to Earth. The girl and the main scientist guy from Monsterland are acting real strange. They, like, tell them that they're controlling the monsters. And at this point, it's when we cut to the monsters destroying the cities around the world, where it's Rodan in Moscow, Baragon, a.k.a. Gorosaurus in Paris, Godzilla attacks New York. I'm sure we're never going to see that happen again. And the other monsters attack places. Other places.
Manda was somewhere.
Manda was somewhere. Anyway.
Manda was in Tallahassee.
So they find out that these aliens called the Kelux have taken control of the monsters, and they're the ones that have mind-controlled the people from Monsterland. The main scientist dude gets taken with them. They leave. The girl stays, or runs back to where the Kelux are, and we don't see what happens to her there. Moving on. Dude jumps out a window. The main scientist guy is being interrogated.
And stocks aren't going well. Goodbye.
Just casually jumps out a window. And
yeah, he just, my people need me, and just steps out the window and dies. And
Mothra
dies.
Attacked Beijing.
Yeah. That's a city. Rob, Google machined it. So the dude kills himself. The aliens show up, including the girl.
I think her name is Yoko.
Yoko or something. She shows up to try and retrieve his body. And it turns, the special police show up, they start, there's a shootout, they find out that the humans that are being controlled have, like, a device in them somewhere, or something.
In or on them,
that is mind-controlling them. they decide to say, oh, if that's the case, maybe the monsters are being controlled by a similar thing.
We can reverse-engineer some sound waves or something, track them down.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they used the device that they pulled out of the guy to figure out what the radio signal is, and then, like, they track it.
Which was a ball bearing.
Yeah, it was literally just, like, a BB. Like, it was, like, a little circle thing. They find all of these control devices and various things, rocks, coconuts, clamshell, it looks like a wok that you would cook in at one point. It's very strange.
They find a fake farmer, they open him up, and there's one in there.
Fifth graders' tennis shoes.
Yeah. So they figure out that those are the devices that are controlling them. They don't know where the signal's coming from. They don't know where the aliens are at this point. They send out a, like, APB on the girl, saying, like, you've got to look for her. She's somewhere in Japan. And she shows up in Tokyo.
They do a real good job looking for her.
They stare right at her, check one side of her neck, and then let her go.
They look for the device
they don't
where
even
it's
like do a great job though. They kind of push her hair back a little bit, but like when we see the earlier scene, it's like behind the guy's ear.
Yeah, it's very like on the back of his neck.
And
underneath
they just
kind of
like nervously like push her hair, like, ooh, I don't like touching girl. They hover hands, like, you know,
I'm so nervous.
Oh, but yeah, so she shows up in Tokyo. At this point, nowhere in Japan had been attacked. So they kind of looked away from Japan because they were trying to help the world. Turns out that it was all diversion. And four of the monsters show up.
That's three.
Godzilla, Rodan, Manda, and Mothra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mothra shows up at the very end.
That Mothra, like, comes through, like, a train station and goes, I'm here too!
It comes through the subway. It's a very cool action scene, which I'm sure we will talk about more in a little bit when we talk about the special effects.
All the monsters do their part.
Yeah, they do their part.
Including Manda.
They wreck Tokyo. Tokyo is completely decimated.
Manda's taking down them bridges.
Yeah, Manda's taking down every bridge. Okay, that's what he's doing.
Very slowly, very deliberately.
So they figure out that the Kelux are not using the control devices anymore because they found them all. They are curious about what's going on. So they figure out that the Kelux base has to be somewhere near them. So they go out and try and find it at first. They can't find it. Godzilla chases them away from just wherever they were in the countryside. Keep in mind, at this point, the SY-3 is still flying around.
That's the spacecraft.
The spacecraft is still, like, it's cool part of the military now. Like, apparently, it's, like, the best thing we have.
Also, was when Godzilla scared them away from that landing, so was that just Godzilla, and he was just like, why are you here? Ah, get out of here. I'm not being mind controlled.
I assume that they were controlling him, but the girl, Yoko, or whatever her name was, she shows up and gives a message from the Kilox saying that the Kilox have now changed their plan from using the monsters to decimate the world to just wanting to coexist with Earthlings. But they want to be in charge. They want to control what's going on. Like, yeah, we're going to coexist with you. We're not going to make you slaves or anything, but we're in charge. And the people go, that's a bad idea. That's a terrible idea. And then they rip off her earrings.
Oh, yeah, it's the only way.
Her boyfriend does it. The prey animal.
Jinx him right off.
Just, well, I think he, like, takes off the other one, like, a little bit nicer, but
she's bleeding from both.
Okay, I missed the bleeding from the second layer, but yeah, he just, this seems like a good way to solve this situation.
And then he just makes a statement, a broad statement of, like, they're controlling her with these, and he holds them up, and it's just like,
how did you know that? What I love is that all the reporters are just standing there. They're not reacting or going, they're just kind of blankly staring, like, did he just...
The one guy takes
assault
a picture.
Assault his girlfriend? Yeah, like, nervously. So,
assault is definitely okay if you're possessed by aliens.
Of course.
Mm.
The military...
We're back in space.
The plan kind of splits up at this point. The people go again to look for where the Kilox home base is and have a great... They basically get on the ground. They go on the ground instead of in all the military vehicles and stuff. And Godzilla still tries to chase them away, but they find a cave and they go inside.
Oh yes.
And
spoilers: it's like Mount Fuji.
It's Mount Fuji. The Kilox talk to him again, and this time they say that they want to just live underground. Like, we will just live underground. And
so far, they're being very accommodating.
Yeah, they're really not a very aggressive alien invasion force, to be
ready to work.
Spoilers: it's because they're slugs.
Yeah, it's because they're slugs. But so they tell them that the dudes see that there's like spaceships and all sorts of crazy stuff because they show a video screen. The guys leave the cave. We go back to the Monster Land people, and they are trying to get control of the monsters again. And they track the signal down to be on the moon.
Where it all began.
So the SY-3 takes off, goes back to the moon.
I was kind of confused. Maybe you can help explain to me what happened in this very next sequence.
Okay.
So they're flying over the moon. I mean, it doesn't look like the moon, but it's the moon.
It doesn't look, it's the moon of this movie.
Don't worry, it's the moon.
Then they look over and they see like a green UFO that's like flickering in and out of reality. Yeah. Is that the people?
The Kilox? Yeah, it's supposed to be. Yeah, it's supposed to be like a scout ship that's guarding
that
the base.
It just looks different.
They're trying to avoid it.
They're like, wait, we should follow it. No, it's too dangerous. We shouldn't.
Yeah. They try and avoid it, basically. Yeah.
So they land in a secret tunnel.
Secret tunnel. They land in a crater.
Secret tunnel.
Fire just starts activating. All the spaceships caught on fire now. Yes. Like, what's going on?
And for some reason, that's a danger to the spaceship.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Which has made re-entry twice now.
Well, it's...
Yeah,
but
at least twice, yeah.
It's magical space moon fire.
Okay,
so
that's very true.
It is Kilox fire. And I guess it makes sense with what we're about to learn with the Kilox in a second.
You know, Kilox fire is super tricky because it looks like regular fire.
But it's just a little bit
different. So they send out their car, they blow up the capsule where the Kilox base is, and the Kilox turn back into space slugs.
Yes.
And stones.
The Kilox turn into space slugs, and then they crawl into stones.
Yeah.
Their explanation for this is that the Kilox can only be what they are in really warm temperature. So, like, if it's below a certain amount, they turn back into their normal forms, and they have to hide in something that they can basically turn into a different state of matter. It's real confusing. It's real convoluted.
They really wouldn't want to live on our planet then, because they could only live in, like, one hemisphere.
Right, which is, I think, why they're so accommodating, like we were saying earlier, is because they're like, we really can't live on your planet, but we have to, so we wanted to do this before, but now we're just going to do this. You don't like that, we'll do this instead.
Their problem was they didn't go far enough.
Yeah.
They stopped at the third planet from the sun. They could have gone to the second.
Yeah, they could have gone to Mercury, and they would have been fine.
Hold on. Well, you mean Venus.
Or Mercury.
Mercury's the first.
They could have gone to Mercury.
They could have, but we said the second.
We don't know how hot they want.
I don't want the internet to come for you again.
Yeah, hold on.
I know what the second planet from the sun is. Okay?
Well, obviously not, because you said
Cameron's
that.
Cameron's just trying to watch out for all of us. He let us get hurt once.
I'm hyper-vigilant
like, not again.
So they go into the base. They find this like thing. Yeah. They decide that they need to destroy it. They can't do it with anything else. So they take the laser. They shoot the laser. It's a really like fun scene because they're like shooting the laser. There's some intense music. The cable's catching on on fire because it's drawing too much power. And
except
it's like,
yes. Once again, this is not Keelik fire.
No, this is regular earth
fire. This is just the earth fire. The cord is catching fire.
The cord's catching on fire.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but like it's supposed to be a show that like, oh, the cord's overheating. Because when they turn off the fire, like they reverse the footage.
They reverse the footage of the fire.
So the fire sucks back into the cable.
And the dramatic music stops.
Yes. It's great.
And then when they turn the laser on again,
the music starts. It's great. So they destroy it. The people on Earth get control of the monsters. They use basically, they reverse the signal. They send the monsters to Mount Fuji trying to destroy the Keelix.
Yes.
This is where we get our first Varan shot and our first Baragon shot as
yeah.
well. So the monsters all show up. The Keelix jam the monster control signal once the monsters get close. And then the Keelix also send their trump card, aka King Ghidorah, to try and fight all the monsters. Terrible idea. Ghidorah loses. Godzilla gets pissed because he sees a little orb in the ground. He kicks it. He breaks it. The Keeloks die. Giant fire dragon, quote unquote, shows up and blows a bunch of stuff up. But it's actually just a flying saucer.
It was just a flaming, like a flying saucer. I was reading the description to make sure I got every monster. And like one of the monsters they list is flame dragon. And at first I was like, oh, is that who's the slinky?
Manda.
I thought that was like, is that what Manda's name is? But I was like, no, that's called Manda. Then what's a fire dragon? And every time I Googled it, I was like, that's just a flying saucer. That's not... Google, you've let me down. Turns out it didn't. No. I let Google down by not trusting it.
And I don't want to spend time on talking about this once we get to the monster section, so I'm going to say it here. As a kid, I was real disappointed by the fire dragon. Because when it happens, it's actually kind of like, they beat Ghidorah. Now there's some other crazy monster to be fought. And I was like, oh man, they made a new monster for this film.
Nope.
They did not.
Just a bottle cap.
The entire time we were watching this movie, Kyle kept saying, whenever the fire dragon was on screen, this is a monster they made just for this movie.
Wink, wink.
Got to a point where I was thinking, maybe this isn't a monster they made just for this movie.
So we're almost at the end of the movie. The monsters get taken back to Monsterland. We cut back to the second shot of Varan, shot of Baragon, as they're all living happily on the island again.
Varan's final appearance in this movie. He weakly floats up,
and
then looks at the camera, and then slowly floats more like
don't
a
forget
balloon.
His close-up
yeah
just a poorly like, painted
look
puppet.
It's Varan.
Yeah,
we all love him.
Yeah, and that's the end of the movie. That's pretty much the plot. We've got a ton of monsters to talk about.
Do you want to start us with what's your choice for starting? We're gonna do this a little differently.
I'm just gonna say a monster. You guys are gonna go round table.
Let's start with Mothra.
Yeah, Mothra.
Turd form Mothra.
Yes.
Can I start? Everyone's favorite.
Sure.
Okay. So it's larva Mothra. It's not as disgusting as like a 90s Mothra reboot.
It's also way less accurate to like anything that a caterpillar would look like.
Doesn't inch.
Yeah. Like I was kind of sad got to see.
It's on wheels.
Yeah.
Yes.
It doesn't undulate is the word.
Yeah.
It undulates a little bit.
Not as much as
like any of the other Mothras in the Showa series itself.
It doesn't do much. It shows up on rails two times. It shows up on rails. One time to slam into a train and then another time to break out of a subway station, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Then it attacks Beijing. I don't remember seeing it.
We don't see it.
Okay.
If we do, it's a very brief, just like quick shot.
I think we might see it like on one of the little monitors.
One of the monitors, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because there's a lot of shots like that. We'll talk about that when we get to the next
one. That was actually Baragon's first appearance because we see him in the far left corner.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't like Mothra's, I've never liked this Mothra. Some of the Showa Mothras have the same thing, actually most of them do. I don't like the red eyes on Mothra. I think it looks a little creepy.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
They all look creepy.
Yeah, but, I mean, Mothra's supposed to be the good guy monster. Like, it's kind of weird to have red eyes on Mothra. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's not really much to say. It's just the effect of it is a poop emoji. The effect of it is not very good, I would say, in this movie specifically.
I never liked the Showa Mothras, how some of them have a kind of like shag carpeting.
The hairs underneath?
Hair. It's like a full head of hair on their
No, because they've got Mothra, like if you see the picture, it has the legs, but it has like literally just this carpet.
Yeah, it's got this skirt of armpit hair.
It's to cover the wheels. Is what it's there for.
But so that's gross. Not the fun reason it's there.
No. it's just weird.
I want to know the in-universe.
That's all I wanted to bring up about Mothra is the weird underside.
Weird hair.
So let's go to Anguirus, or Angulus.
I want to talk about Angulus. Angelicus, can we talk? You did not really do anything, but you tried your best. there was this really great scene where Angelicus was grabbed onto Ghidra.
Yes.
No, yes.
And he flew up and he landed on his soft, spiky back and broke the world.
Yeah.
Like, literally everything fell into itself.
He fell so far into the earth.
Yeah.
It shook he tried mountains. So hard. And then he just got right back up and was like, hey, guys, I'm still Ghidorah here. And then Ghidorah
stomped on his neck.
Yeah.
Which was great.
And his back.
Yeah.
And didn't hurt Ghidorah at all.
You know what, though? Got back up.
He got back he up.
Angelo's a fighter.
Because it's not about how hard you can hit, it's about how hard you can get stepped on.
And keep getting back up.
I can't do a good Rocky anymore.
Yeah. I don't want to do it. It's bad for my throat.
He gets knocked down. Then he gets up again.
This is one of the first reappearance of Anguirus, actually, I think, since his first appearance in Raids Again. I don't know if he appeared in between now and then. I'm trying to think of like the movies between Destroy All Monsters and Raids Again, and I don't think he ever appeared. Because he appears after this. He shows up in Gigan, and he shows up in the first Mechagodzilla film.
He shows up in Gigan?
Yeah,
I know that.
It's in Gigan. It's a tag team battle with Anguirus and Godzilla versus Gigan and King Ghidorah.
They're such best friends.
But this is the Anguirus suit they use for the rest of the show. I like this Anguirus suit.
Yeah.
It's Anguirus. This is classic Anguirus to me.
He's got a fire in his eyes.
I have one problem. Yeah. I love the suit. It's a four-legged kaiju, so it's like he's crawling around on his knees the whole time.
That's what Anguirus looks like.
It's a little weird.
In Raids Again, they're a little better. It's kind of like how Varan, they tried to hide it a little bit more.
They
like,
tried.
Well, in Raids Again, they actually hide it like very well, I would say, for the most part. There's still some shots where you see it from the wide angle where you can see it. But,
yeah. We just have so many head-on shots where there's nothing blocking his knees.
Yeah.
You know, at least in this movie.
Oh, yeah, because they're fighting in an open field. Yeah.
Put some sprinkle some trees in there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this is classic Anguirus. I mean, it's this design and the one from Final Wars are the only two Anguirus designs we have. So it's like, between the two, this is the better design.
And you know what? That's not fair.
Yeah,
because really he's not. Godzilla's best friend, and he deserves more suits.
BFFs for life, yo.
I'll be your Anguirus.
Thank you. That means I'm Godzilla.
Yeah.
I'm not the loser in this relationship.
You should look up that song if you know what I'm referencing. Anyway, let's move on to the next monster. We got Rodan.
I want to do Rodan. It's my turn.
Can I just start by saying Rodan sucks? Go ahead, Cameron.
Can I just start by kind of agreeing?
In this movie?
In this movie, Rodan kind of sucks. I mean, in his own movie, he does a great job.
The 65 Rodan suit is phenomenal. And we'll talk about that when we get to that movie. But
it's like Rodan and Godzilla and Mothra against Ghidorah in one movie.
That's Ghidorah the three-headed monster, the original.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Ghidorah the three-headed monster.
Yeah. He did a perfectly adequate job there too.
He has that cool tag team moment where Mothra gets on his back.
Yeah, and that's pretty rad.
I put the team on my back.
Yeah. You know what he does? He flies, and then he incidentally destroys things. And
I mean, there's a lot of cool destruction scenes with Rodan in this movie.
When he flies through planes.
Or when he flies over the city and the sonic boom hits the building and it just explodes.
I've always really liked that.
Yeah, I've always liked that
effect. It's a cool looking effect.
I loved Cameron's comment of... You can tell he's going faster than sound because of how slow he's moving.
I mean, to be fair, it is kind of a visual trick, to be perfectly honest.
He was really far away. Like when you look at an airplane flying millions of miles high.
It is true, though. You look at an airplane flying in the sky, it moves. It looks like it's moving slow.
You know, ground level.
Well, no, but I mean,
no.
I mean, I know you're joking, you're being a jerk, but it's true, though.
It is true, though.
Like,
if he was way up there, it would be true.
Yeah.
But he's right here.
But he's like right. But he's huge.
He's like third
That's the
story
biggest thing
height.
You're not considering.
Yeah.
Is
okay.
Size does make a difference. We're looking at something large.
Yeah.
That is moving fast. Like, it's gonna look a little different to our eye from the ground looking up at it.
I'm making excuses.
Like,
it's kind of a good point. It's why, like, in Civil War, Ant-Man grows to Giant Man, and suddenly he's super
slow.
He's
like moving slow. Like, he's not actually moving slow. To him, he's moving normal speed.
Yeah.
But to us, our perception of him is he's moving slower.
Or like when you see an ant on your table and it's just hauling it across the table.
Yeah.
Can I just point out, his face is going to haunt my dreams.
That's my favorite part of him.
He's got this weird, like, I know you children use your Snapchat these days, but when you, like, open up your phone and the front-facing camera is on and you've got, like, nine chins.
Yeah, you're like, looking down at your phone and you turn on your camera and it's just pointing up at you and you've got nine chins.
That was Rodan's face.
We just used a meme.
Ooh. Yeah, we did.
Put a meme on our podcast.
Oh, wow.
But, that's the best way to describe Rodan's face in the close-up shot.
His face looks like literally it's like got smashed in.
Yeah. Did they curve his beak down more?
I think it looks hilarious. I'm pretty sure it's a reused suit, and they had to design the face like really quickly. If I remember the like lore for this movie of the making of it, because they had so many monsters that they were really like pressed for budget of like, we've got to reuse as many suits as we can because we cannot make more than like two new suits for this movie.
Which is why we didn't get a new Varan suit.
I've got two different pictures of him from the movie. There's one where it's like them on Monster Island standing, and it looks like it dives. Like his beak goes out and like is almost stabbing him in the chest.
Yeah, it's like a 90-degree angle.
He's got two different suits.
Yeah. Then I have a sequence of him flying towards the end fight against Ghidorah, and it looks like it's still bent down, but it's nowhere near as extreme.
It's not as bad.
So I'm wondering if there were two different suits.
Or the flying one was probably a puppet, and the standing one was a
suit.
That's
a good point.
Fan theory time.
When he flies, his beak straightens out for aerodynamics.
For that super speed. My fan theory is this. They had two suits. Both were alike in dignity. One got left in the back of a hot car.
And so it
just kind of drooped a little.
Yeah.
I've lost a lot of good VHS tapes.
The Rodan suit in this movie
is
not very good.
It is hilarious, though.
It's really weird, too, because I noticed this, too. Rob, you can probably see it in the image you have pulled up. It's weird that he doesn't have a tail in this movie.
Yeah, no tail.
And I think that kind of hurts his design a little bit. I know his tail is real weird in general, because it's like a weird, just like flat.
Like a stingray?
His tail looks like the front of a stingray. It's the best way to describe it. In the Hezai Rodan, he has an actual tail. Like, it's just a thin tail. But in the original Rodan, and Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster and everything before this movie, it's just literally just like a flat thing.
Flat as Kansas.
But it looks weird, but at the same time, it kind of helps the design a little bit. But with this, without him having a tail, it looks really goofy because his legs are just sticking straight back, but there's nothing else there. It's weird.
He's losing those aerodynamic abilities.
Yeah. Anything else to say about Rodan in this movie?
Belly spikes.
Oh, yeah, belly spikes.
I know, he's always had them. And I've never understood what... He doesn't do anything with them?
Well, he scrapes up against things.
I guess.
That's how he cuts those planes in half.
Yeah.
I thought he just kind of ran into them.
I think it's just supposed to be armor, I guess. Belly armor. I mean, because most like animals like that are like, they don't have much protection on the chest.
I didn't.
And he's a kaiju, so like...
I didn't notice it at first. So I really thought, because our introduction when like they start attacking Monster Island, he falls on Anguirus, and I really thought that he just had like Anguirus spikes.
Like a porcupine just stuck to him.
No, yeah, it's like literally just like an armored carapace on his chest. I think in the original Rodan, they mention why he has it. They try firing missiles at it, and they say like, oh, we should try hitting him from behind, so they change their tactics to try and hit him from behind.
Oh, those spikes are hitting all our missiles.
Or something like that. I don't know. I haven't seen the original Rodan in a while, but...
My final thoughts on Rodan, I don't like him. Anyone at this table can attest to the fact that I could rant about Rodan as much as I can rant about Christopher Nolan.
See, but you can rant about Rodan, but you've never seen the original Rodan.
No.
So can you really judge his like monster?
Yeah.
You know what? This movie did not raise my opinion of him at
that's
all.
Fair.
And any other movie I've seen him in as well did not.
That's fair.
It's not I'm just very he's going to be in the new King of the Monsters movie, and I'm just like, whew. They probably just threw that one at you guys.
He's kind of a legacy ad.
Yeah.
Like, who else is the famous monster?
He's a legacy.
Rodan, whatever.
Rodan. He had a standalone movie once.
Yeah, that's true.
Manda.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, boy. Cameron, please lead the way on Manda.
So, Manda, you know, you draw Manda out, or you Google a picture of Manda in the sea in his home.
First of all, when you search Manda, you're going to get Final Wars Manda, because that's the more popular of the two. Because
it's the cooler one,
yeah.
Let's be real. And it's Grace. Manda in the water, she's this graceful, swooping serpent.
Like Chinese dragon.
She's like a Chinese dragon. She is incredible. You know, she went up that waterfall of carp, and she's a Gyarados now. And, and in the water, she looks great. Even in
with her stupid little arms.
Even with the stupid alarms, because it doesn't matter, she's in the water.
She's in the water, so she's...
She doesn't need the stupid alarms. She's just swooping around.
So somebody looked at how great and cool she looked in the water, and they were like, you know what we should do? Let's put her in Tokyo, where she will move like an inchworm and kind of flail her tiny little wiener dog legs around.
And destroy a bridge.
One bridge, which she will carefully and methodically approach, slowly, wrap around. Very slowly like a wrap boa around, constrictor. And then just bring it down. Meanwhile, in the same shot, Godzilla is destroying...
He's wrecking stuff.
You know what's funny is I don't even think she squeezed. I think it just collapsed under her weight.
Probably.
I did it.
So there's actually there's a battle scene that was actually cut from this movie of Godzilla versus Manda that happens right there. It's a very brief like scuffle. They cut it because it doesn't make any sense, because at this point the monsters are being controlled, so why would they fight each other?
Unless the alien just thought it would be fun.
Yeah.
Make those two fight.
I have one thing that I need to add. Cameron, earlier you mentioned, hey, have you ever wanted to see a pool noodle as a kaiju? And I haven't laughed that hard in years.
She has all the dimensions of a pool noodle.
She has a real derpy face, too.
Did you guys ever go to your rich friend's house and they had that like connector and you could connect and make one super long? That's Manda.
Oh, my gosh.
It's your rich friend's house. Manda's that thing was 50 cents.
Manda is my second favorite, so...
Manda, yeah, he's exactly. I don't have anything to add.
What
you guys,
a hero!
You guys nailed it with your description.
She heard the call to duty, and she was like, "You know what? I can't do a lot, but I'm gonna do my best.
But I'll show up."
But why did they like? Why did they put such
more
emphasis
than I can say
on
for
Manda? They were like really proud of Manda because Manda is one of the major monsters in this movie. To be perfectly honest,
other than
the final battle,
she does get more screen time than like half the other monsters.
It's real
except
weird.
For the final battle, and then Gorosaurus takes her place.
Yeah.
Speaking of Gorosaurus.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to get into Gorosaurus? Oh, man.
Gorosaurus is great.
I love
Gorosaurus.
Yeah. He's so stupid looking.
I've never seen Gorosaurus before. Gorosaurus is basically like a fusion dance between Godzilla and like an actual T-Rex. He's got the tiny arms.
Like a Ray Harryhausen T-Rex.
Yeah.
Which, okay, let's get into
like
the origin of Gorosaurus for a second here.
Yeah.
Gorosaurus was made, and his first appearance was in King Kong Escapes to be the T-Rex battle in that movie.
Okay.
So that's where Gorosaurus comes from. And of course, King Kong, the rights for that are so complicated they couldn't get him into Storm Monsters. I'm sure they would have put him in there if they could.
I don't even know who has the rights to him at this point.
Yeah. Oh, God. At that point in the
they could have put Frankenstein in there.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
No, they lost the rights to that, too.
Oh, really?
That's why the Gargantuas exist.
Okay.
They could have had a freaking gargantuan.
Yeah. No, those gargantuans can't agree long enough to...
Yeah,
not even mine.
They could have had one. They could have the good one.
Yeah.
Those brothers always throwing around.
But, Gorosaurus, I've always really liked Gorosaurus's, design in general. I think his suit is actually really good looking for Showa. Not too bad.
I just don't understand why his head is so big.
Yeah, that's he's got a Derposaurus head.
No, see, like T-Rexes have big heads, but they also have big bodies. I feel like Gorosaurus's head is just oversized and his neck is too
disproportionate.
Small.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fan theory part the second. Gorosaurus's head is so big because he's got a great big old brain that lets him formulate his sick Goro Libre fighting style.
It's kangaroo kick.
Kangaroo kick.
Which he uses in this movie once. He also used it back
in
King Kong Escapes.
Honestly, I think it's kind of neat. Like, we get a lot of kaiju that have, like, you know, pretty proportionate arms or no arms. It's weird, like, you know, to see, and I'd like to see this again, a kaiju with, like, really small arms.
Like
so, like, a normal, really big.
He has T-Rex arms.
Yeah,
he
like
has little T-Rex arms.
You don't see that anymore with, like, big, giant monsters that have big legs and a big body.
At least
and a
he
big
doesn't
head
propel himself with his front arms.
And
you know?
Big, like, a big, long, like, lasery tail, but, like,
are
tiny...
you doing a thing right now?
What?
Are you doing a thing?
Are you serious?
Right
doing
now?
Anything? I just now got it. Rob,
what?
No.
What kind of thing are we doing?
What are you talking about?
Rob, bad Rob.
Did you say laser?
Bad
tail?
Rob. Oh my God.
I wanted to see how far you're
just like,
you
let
you go really far.
I really had to because I did not get it at first. And okay. Anyway,
sorry.
My eyes were like glazed over. I'm just like watching curtains. Rob's just droning on about Shin Godzilla.
Yeah.
Small arms.
And lasery tail.
So now that you've gotten the requisite Shin Godzilla reference out of
try red eyes.
All right.
Try blue eyes.
Gorosaurus, one of the last things I have to say about him is, you know, you guys were commenting on his big head and how goofy it is.
Big derpy
to
head.
A certain extent, though, like, if you're, I mean, that's the same reason why tyrannosaurs evolved to have larger skulls and stuff like that. And I know, like you said, like they have larger bodies
it's
to compensate.
So they can bite King Ghidra's neck.
Yeah, but it's yeah. I mean, he does actually grab a hold of his neck at one point. It's pretty brutal.
He's got a good effort in this one.
Know what? If anybody gets an A for effort for fighting King Ghidorah, it is Gorosaurus.
Yeah, he tries real hard.
A real question this time, not like troll question. Does he dig in any of the other movies he's in? Gorosaurus?
No, he doesn't. He does in the Paris attack.
In my favorite sequence of the movie, he pops up
in the Paris section. Supposed to be Baragon.
Because Baragon digs.
They accidentally put Gorosaurus there instead.
The Baragon suit was stuck in the hot car with the Rodan suit.
That's why it looks so bad at the end.
Because they had to pry the melted Rodan suit off of the Baragon suit.
Oh my god, we fixed it.
We figured it out.
You can try to hide your shame, Toho, but I'm too smart for
that. But yeah, like the big head on Gorosaurus looks okay, and it probably makes sense for a creature standpoint because it doesn't have big arms. So what's it going to need? It's going to need something to attack with, and it's going to grow a bigger head. Yeah. And it's got big feet too because it's got the kangaroo kick.
What are we going to do with these? Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. So I really
can't
like
even high five Godzilla. Godzilla and Gorosaurus did this cool little like buddy dance. Like,
oh yeah, they teamed
look at
up.
Us. We're T Rex things. And like Godzilla was all like pumping his fists, you know, like getting
really
real jazzy.
Getting down.
And Gorosaurus was just kind of like, oh, I can't do that.
Wow, insensitive.
All right, let's briefly touch on the spider. There's not really much to say because he looks exactly the same.
Was
as
there
he
a
did.
Spider in this movie?
Yeah,
Spiga. Hold,
Kamungra.
Hold on, yeah. I say Spiga. Her name.
It's both. The American name for...
Say both her name.
Kamungra.
The American name in the original dub of Son of Godzilla, which is Kamungra's first appearance, which we will get to that movie and it's going to be a doozy, was Spiga. They call her Spiga. I don't know
like
if Kamungra
spider.
Was just too hard to say.
It doesn't sound like
Well, they didn't want to reference ancient lore by calling her Arachne. They didn't want to say Spidra because that sounds stupid.
Spidra?
Spidera?
Ooh, Spidera.
Spidera. That's a different movie that probably already exists.
Yeah. I like this suit.
I mean, it's literally a just a reused puppet.
Yeah. I mean, I like the puppet. Like, the animatronic, or the, like, string work on it makes it look cool.
It's cool.
I really
like
enjoy her restless leg syndrome.
Yes.
Like, she can't stand still, but I like
and
the movement.
And yet, she's staying in one spot.
Yeah.
The entire time. Just
but it's, when it was
up,
moving, it looked really
down.
Cool.
I think it's cool. I think the thing about the suit, and we'll talk about it more when we get to Son of Godzilla, because it's more prominently featured there. I think the one interesting thing is that when we were watching it this time, I thought it was stock footage. I thought it was stock footage of the suit. Like, they just used of footage of it in the jungle because it's a jungle fight in this movie and it's a jungle fight in Son of Godzilla.
Well, I think that was stock footage.
No, it wasn't.
What?
It was not.
It looked exactly
it
the
did,
same,
I think there but
were,
it wasn't. There
like,
was maybe one shot that was stock footage, but they did have a shot where it was
when
actually
it zooms
there.
Out well, after yeah. they kill the crap out of Ghidorah. Everybody's standing there, and there's a little Kamungra in the background,
and it's doing its moving. So it's obviously the puppet. So I think they had the puppet, and it actually did still work a little bit at least.
Yeah, but when I think like the first shot when
the
like,
first
she
shot
quote unquote shows up.
Yeah, the
that's
first shot
definitely
is
the from.
First shot is. But yeah,
Monster
I mean,
Island.
It looks cool. We'll talk about it more when we get to the movie that it's from. I think because this one it's just kind of there for 10 seconds and goes away.
We should have like a whole Son of Godzilla series.
I don't think we need a whole series.
Yeah,
about
I don't
that movie.
Think we're
how
ready
many
for that.
How
that's
many
its own
children
podcast.
Does. Does Manila grow up to be the Son of Godzilla from the...
No.
Yeah, does
no,
Minya become
they're not
junior?
Related. No, they're not related.
Okay, good.
Let's
my
talk
favorites.
About Minya. We're at Minya now.
My
let's
favorite
let's
sweet.
Talk about Minya.
I hate him.
I always hate Minya.
I have to start with that.
You want to start?
No, because I said my piece.
I have nightmares about this thing's face.
Don't we all? It's like some warped Barney thing.
It's weird. Like, it's just wrong. It's wrong in every way possible. It
always looks so tired.
Like, so they put a child into a suit.
Yeah.
And its eyes, like, they kind of have the, like, Showa Godzilla eyes where it's, like, rounded frog eyes on top of the
but
head.
They're so heavy-lidded.
Yeah. And then the mouth is what's just a nightmare. An unceasing...
It's just a grin.
It's
with
a
like little
grin.
Tiny teeth
yeah.
that move up
three,
and down.
Three teeth on the top and bottom, like, jaw. And, oh, gosh. It's just disturbing.
I think this thing looks more like some sort of demented Son of Kong than Son of Godzilla.
That's kind of true. God. What if he's a skinless Kong? Or skinless frog?
What if it's their baby?
What if Kong and Godzilla finally put their differences aside?
That's what happens. They fight. They fell into the water, and they were both roaring.
Look into each other's eyes. Get lost in the moment.
I really like the way you destroyed that building.
Things just happen.
Like the way you destroyed that building.
So carried by their passion.
So one of the biggest things that is wrong with Minya in this movie
is that it exists.
Is that it exists? A. B. It's that son of Godzilla. The Godzilla suit was designed poorly. First of all. Second of all, it was designed to the suits were kind of designed to be a cohesive unit of Minya looks like the Son of Godzilla suit and Son of Godzilla suit looks like Minya. But in this movie, they use a different Godzilla suit. And so now they don't match at all. So it looks really even more awkward. Because
so Minya's just this weird thing following Godzilla around.
Yeah, it doesn't even look anything related to the Godzilla that we see in this movie. Yeah. Which I do want to get to Godzilla soon. But we've got a couple of other small monsters to talk about.
Do we even know if Minya is a Godzilla?
They say it. And the movie is called Son of Godzilla.
They can tell me anything they want. But I trust my eyes.
He has a radioactive beam.
Son of Godzilla.
A lot of things have radioactive beams.
And Son of Godzilla, he has a beam too.
Oh, okay.
Because Godzilla steps on his foot.
Yeah, what's up with that? How come in this movie the only person with a beam is Godzilla? Yeah.
That's classic Toho. None of the monsters other than Godzilla had special powers. They were all terrestrial creatures back in the day. And then once we get to Heisei, everybody has beams.
Everyone.
out of everywhere.
I think it's worth it.
I for one enjoy the light show.
So let's cover the small monsters, the monsters that appear for two scenes or less.
Baragon.
Let's talk about Baragon really briefly.
He's got ears.
Sad that Baragon wasn't in more of this because I was looking at a doll of him because that was the best picture I could find, which probably should have been a warning to me.
Were you looking at GMK one or the Showa one?
I was looking at Showa one.
Okay. Because GMK Baragon's rad. But
I still like this one. It's not very cool, but yeah. I kind of like the big rabbity ears, and I like the way it looks.
Is Baragon a radioactive Cocker Spaniel?
In this movie, he looks like one.
May not be.
He really looks like one. The other day, I was looking at a cocker that we have at work, and I was looking at my phone at Baragon, and then back and forth and back and forth.
Brother!
sweating nervously.
The suit is reused from Frankenstein Conquers the World. I haven't seen Frankenstein Conquers the World, but I've seen screenshots of the battle in Frankenstein Conquers the World where Baragon first appears. And it's you can definitely tell this suit has seen better days. it clearly was in storage somewhere, and they were like, hey, what other monsters can we throw into this thing? Let's throw Baragon in there.
It's got a little bit of dry rot, but he'll be all right.
Can you imagine the poor guy that had to climb into that suit? It's filled with spider webs. I think there's a black widow net in here.
Spiders and sweat and just the lingering ghost of someone's BO.
a skeleton.
It does not look
straight
good.
Straight up skeleton.
It's not a good look. I mean, you see him for, once again, two shots.
Yeah.
Same thing as Varen, which we're about to get to in a second.
Yeah.
Because it's Varen month. We got to talk about Varen
a second. I think we need to save Varen for last.
You want to save? Yeah, let's save Varen for last.
All right.
He is the hero.
After Godzilla and King Ghidorah? Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So Baragon, he looks terrible. We all agree.
I'm the only one who didn't.
Rob doesn't agree, but everyone else thinks it.
Okay.
Design is fine.
The suit looks like trash.
It's roughed garbage. Up.
I think he looked best when he was Gorosaurus.
Yes. All right. So let's talk about the hero of the story. Let's talk Godzilla.
King Ghidorah. Oh. The hero of the story.
You misinterpreted this movie.
You probably think Billy Zabka's the hero of Karate Kid.
Well, yeah. He swept the leg, and that's made the Karate Kid find his inner strength.
Focus, guys. So, Godzilla, what do you guys think of the suit? The Godzilla suit in this movie. This Godzilla suit's used in a lot of movies beyond this. It's kind of the one used until we get to the Mechagodzilla films, I believe.
With Rob.
I like the kind of, froggy pug face of him. It's that Showa look where he acts a lot more human and but I missed this with Baragon. I'm going to talk about this with Godzilla. The quality of the suit, it's pretty clear that they didn't have a lot of time between this movie and the last, because you can see on the legs, especially in the big attack sequence, that there's a lot of scales missing.
Just gone.
There's a lot of damage to the suit that I don't know if maybe they filmed the fight sequence with Ghidorah first and then filmed this, the Tokyo attack sequence, or if it was just damage left over from the movie previous.
This is the I believe this if I know my lore right, I think this is the first appearance of this suit.
Huh. Yeah. I guess it was the King Ghidorah fight, and then maybe they filmed, because
unless... Or it could have gotten, I mean, maybe they filmed some of the missile attack sequence and some of the suit got blown off. So
this Godzilla, so chubby. He got them thunder thighs.
I think he's chubby compared to Gorosaurus, but Gorosaurus is fit. All right.
Gorosaurus is in shape.
Yeah.
Gorosaurus works out.
That's why I like Gorosaurus' design, is because I feel like his design is a very cohesive, like, flat design, whereas Godzilla is just like, these Godzilla suits have always been described as, like, trash bags to a certain extent.
Oh my gosh.
And it's kind of true. Like, they don't really have definition on their
That
body.
Godzilla has definitely been skipping gym.
For a Godzilla that moves around so much.
Yeah.
This is Showa Godzilla. He jumps, he dances, he
does
crazy kicks.
I mean, but on that small Monsterland, he's just confined to such a tight space, he can't get his aerobics in as much.
But he's always dancing.
He is always dancing. Yeah.
Always jazzercise, always Zumba.
He invented Zumba.
He invented it in 1999.
What a dark timeline.
I think there's something about this Godzilla suit. Like, I know it's the very definition of Showa Godzilla, and I think that's what I like about it, is it's very Showa Godzilla. Like, I mean, like...
Got the lips. It's got the big eyes.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things of...
Chubby legs.
If you like Showa Godzilla, this is probably one of your favorite suits.
Yeah.
Just because it's used in so many movies. Like I said, I think it's three or four. It's used in stock footage in one. I know that for certain. There's also a second Godzilla suit that's used. It's the suit from Godzilla vs. the Sea Monster. They use it for the scenes where Godzilla's in the water. You don't really get a good look at it. It almost looks like stock footage, but there's one scene of stock footage with it, but the other one where he's attacking New York. It's using a water suit from Godzilla vs. the Sea Monster.
Yeah.
It's a very generic, like, it's a very generic Showa Godzilla. I feel like there's nothing that really stands out about it. It's, like you said, it is kind of chunky. Compared to what Son of Godzilla looks like, though, it's svelte. It's, like, skinny.
Svelte. Good word choice.
Thank you. Like I said, it's the definition of Showa Godzilla. If you either like it, you like it, or you don't. There's some great Showa Godzilla suits later that, you know, towards the end of the series, like I said, in the Mechagodzilla series, Mechagodzilla 1 and Terror of Mechagodzilla. This is the last Showa Godzilla change until you get to the Mechagodzilla films. Yeah. So this is the one that lasts from this movie to 1976.
Jeez.
That's
so
wild.
Yeah. No tweaks to the face, no nothing. Yeah. Like, 'cause a lot of the Godzilla suits have tweaked between the movies. This one does not.
Oh, it's very clear that there's not much done to this suit.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the same one that fights Hedorah. This is the same one that fights Gigan.
As Rob said, chunks of it were missing.
Yeah, and it only gets worse. Like I said, the suit is used for three or four more movies, so it only gets worse with the chunks.
Yeah, remember when he fought Hedorah and one of his eyeballs fell out? There's some stuffing in one of the arms that came out.
I don't know that at all. I want
to
see
that. Well, the eyeball coming out was intentional because he gets splurted in the eye with the gunk.
Oh my!
I forgot his eyeball actually came out. I was doing a bit.
Well, it doesn't. It's not actually out, but they like cover it up. But it looks like the eye literally just popped out. We'll get to that movie later.
Forgot how violent that movie was.
It's pretty bad. Pretty violent. Not.
I mean, that's
bad,
the one where people dissolve.
So. Yeah, like, yeah, King Ghidorah.
Ooh,
Cameron wants to start.
So this is back when King Ghidorah was kind of cute.
His face, yeah, I can
he's
see
got
that.
A cute little face. He looks like each of his heads has a little smile on it.
Each of his heads has some hair.
A little bit of hair.
He's got his mane. He's got his mane.
A mullet is
it's
what
a,
it is.
Yeah, it's a weird mullet. It looks kind of like Yoda's hair in like Empire.
The mane has seen better days. I feel like it definitely looked better back in the other show.
It looked like
films.
Some weird Barbie hair.
Yeah, like
when you have a Barbie for too long and its hair gets all frazzled.
This Barbie's been in our family for generations.
I like this one. They put a lot of work into like every individual scale is very clearly like a handcrafted scale that they like glued on. That was rad.
Ghidorah's always really impressive.
Yeah, like they put
except for Godzilla vs. Gigan. It's
okay.
Kind of
well,
yeah.
There's always going to be an exception, Kyle.
I mean,
God.
That being said, and this is like a cardinal sin that we talk about outside the podcast a lot, where it's like, you can't do that. But I have this feeling. I've been ruined on King Ghidorah because of Mothra 3, because of how awesome the two suits are in that one. Kind of like going back in time, it's like, I have to actively think, like, no, it was a different time period, even though it's set in 1999. like, you know, I have to remind myself, this was 60s, you know, like, this was, like, primo suit tech at the time.
Yeah.
So, like, there's that little disconnect between me and this suit.
Yeah. My biggest problem with this suit, I thought it was rad. Everything looked pretty good. The heads were super mobile, and one of them sprang straight up when he was dead for some reason.
Well, it's not a cloud.
Yeah. And, the only thing I did not like was the wings. I felt like they were literally just like satin sheets that were stretched between like some twigs.
Yeah,
they really looked
there
like
was,
that.
Yeah, there was
his wings have always looked a little silly.
Yeah.
There was no definition to them, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. Bottom. They're literally just, yeah. Like,
yeah, they're bed sheets over a
there's
frame.
There's poles, and then there's like the sheets spread between them. But
I'd sleep on those sheets. Don't get me wrong. They looked very comfy.
Wrap myself up in Ghidorah wings.
Yeah, this Ghidorah, the puppet for like the close-ups, I'm not really that big of a fan of him. They decided to make him completely pupilless, almost, or not pupilless, but
he didn't have pupils.
He didn't really have whites in his eyes. Like it was just jet black. And usually I like that some with monsters. There's a scene in GMK where he like closes his white eyes and he looks like he has just black pits and it looks really cool. This one, I just didn't like that. I love the battle damage that happens to Ghidorah.
Yes.
When Anguirus bites him, every time you see him from now on, he's got blood on his neck.
When anyone bites him.
Yeah, and like, the suit is just, it's a good looking suit. I think it is really impressive in those group shots whenever there's all the other monsters. Like, Ghidorah still stands out in the center of them as being a big deal, even though, like, he's kind of overwhelmed in the fight, and it's kind of unfair, to be certainly honest.
Yeah, let's touch on that a little bit.
Well, we're going to talk about that when we get to the special effects in the filmmaking, because we'll talk about the fights and stuff. But I think this Ghidorah, it's a good Ghidorah. It's a good show of Ghidorah. It's like, I still say his show of Ghidorah, the best show of Ghidorah is the original, his original appearance, probably. Because I feel like that's definitely when they spent the most time.
Which isn't that the intro scene they used for him?
They used the stock footage.
Formation from his original
which,
movie.
To be fair, is the coolest introduction sequence ever, where he comes out of fire and forms into Ghidorah.
From light and fire.
So rad.
Anything else to say about Ghidorah?
Varen.
Well, you've got one more monster.
One left.
You guys want to say the last.
Oh, boy.
There's really not that much to say.
Only
to
be called
honest.
One thing, Kyle.
I'm just saying.
And that one thing is unbelievable.
Oh, God. Yes. We have to do one more reference.
I have to.
I know.
From now on.
I'm being paid to do this.
She's not being paid.
Anytime you watch this movie, you should be asking yourself, but where's Varon? So Varon is a balloon in this one.
He really is.
He's a stick balloon.
He floats awkwardly into the fight sequence against Ghidorah and then
disappears,
just like Baragon.
Just hides or lays down.
Mm-hmm. And Amanda.
And then shows up at the very, very end and floats up.
In fact, he's the third to last monster we see.
Yeah. He floats up behind a mountain. Then, like, it goes, hey! And then then he just floats away. Like, he keeps floating up, and we just see his tail. And
He is just a balloon on a stick, he only has one expression, and that expression is this, like, horrifying grin.
Pure joy.
To be fair, that's the same expression he had during the entirety of the actual movie.
Ecstasy.
The entirety of his actual movie, I should say.
Yeah.
And the people in the helicopter at the very, very end, when they
like,
see him
it's Varon!
Pop up over the... They're, like, happy to see him. Yeah. Oh, it's our friend Varon!
There were these moments during the battle against Ghidorah where suddenly there was just wind from nowhere, and I was like, that's Varon, he's helping out!
I'll do my part, guys!
He's blowing from the sidelines there. Yeah.
So, I have to ask, now that we've covered all of them, ladies and gentlemen, who is your favorite monster?
Why'd everyone look at me, like, immediately?
Well, Kyle looked over you, and so I was just being supportive.
Just because he brought me so much joy, it's gotta be Varen the Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
He only showed up twice, and both times you're just like, why are you even here? This is unbelievable. It's just, just pointless.
My God.
You know what? I want a Varen balloon. That's just
the stick balloon of Varen.
Stick balloon of Varen.
Let's just get the actual prop from this movie. Oh, I guess before we move on to our next people's favorite monster in this movie, the reason why they didn't use Varen's suit is because it was too damaged from the making of Varen, and of course it had been quite a few years.
They blew it up.
Yeah.
I bet they set it on fire. Honda set it on fire. Yeah. He was like, this was my masterwork, and it was trash.
His back was falling. We were joking about it last episode, yeah, where his back was almost falling off. So I'm sure it just got worse by the time they were making this movie.
Yeah.
So supposedly he was actually supposed to have a slightly larger role. Like, he was going to take part in the final battle, and then they couldn't. Instead,
he was just a balloon on a stick.
Yeah.
Did you mean Honda the director, or Honda the hot car that also tore up Baragon and Rodan?
Honda the director.
So, Rob, your favorite monster of this movie?
So I kind of like bounce back and forth. I was thinking about this. That's why I asked this question.
If you say Varen, I swear I'm jumping across this table.
No,
right now.
No.
You aren't allowed to like Varen just because I like him.
I'm actually, I want to see it. I want to see that leap.
They're all special babies in one way or another.
Special snowflakes.
Except for Rodan's face.
I think.
Except for Rodan's
poor face.
And Minya.
Oh yeah, and not Minya.
Nobody's favorite.
I would probably go with Gorosaurus. I think he's just cool. A runner-up is definitely the wiener dog snake, Manda.
The wiener snake.
They both tried really hard, but out of the two of them, Gorosaurus definitely like looks functionally cooler and like does a drop kick, so he gets infinite points from me.
Gorosaurus had the bigger impact. That was a good hit, though.
That was good. It was a good hit.
Shook his heads. It knocked some dust off of him.
It knocks him down. Like, it's what makes them be able to win. Like, because that's when Godzilla starts stomping on their necks.
Obviously, it was Minya's little tube ring wrapping around that center neck.
That's what did it.
Yep.
Cameron,
final blow.
So I've been thinking about it ever since Rob asked the question 30 seconds ago.
So the last couple minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say Kumonga, because I know no one else is going to.
And but, she deserves some love.
Yeah, she does. Here's why. All right. Because she shows up and all the other monsters are like, yeah, let's fight King Ghidorah. But she's just like, what's in it for me? What am I getting out of this?
I'll spray some web at him.
I'll spray some, I guess. You know, like, she really can't be bothered. She's got stuff she wants to do.
She probably has some, like, babies.
She's got real life responsibilities. Yeah. These other monsters can just fritter away.
I don't want to think about giant Kumonga babies. That's
just
terrifying.
Too late.
A cave
now you're thinking about
filled
it
with like chestburster eggs. Spider chestbursters.
And you know what? They need their mother.
Oh,
yeah, they do.
She said she didn't have time.
Oh boy.
to shoot her little darts at it.
Yeah, we didn't see her use that in this movie.
She just
lost those.
It.
Yeah.
Lowered his speed.
So mine, I'm actually going to go with Anguirus. I think I love Gorosaurus in this movie, but at the same time, I feel like I said, I think this is the best Anguirus has really looked, to be perfectly honest, overall. Especially because if I am correct, and this is the first time Anguirus has appeared since Raids Again, like, this is a completely new suit for Anguirus. And so, like, I really want to give the shout out to that, because I think this is the classic Anguirus that I love.
I think
so much.
The only thing Anguirus was lacking in this movie was curling into a ball and using his homing attack.
They didn't have that technology.
Yeah, no, they couldn't do it.
In 1999.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, not in 1999. Nope.
Can you imagine the sheer quantity of rings that would have exploded out of Ghidorah's body?
I was disappointed that Anguirus didn't do his back jump in this movie. He does it in all the other.
He didn't jump at all.
Yeah.
He bit and held on.
Yeah.
And that's way more than Anguirus does in a lot of other
He should have been using
movies.
That shell, because he demonstrated that's powerful enough to just blast through the earth.
Yes. To the center of the earth.
Have Rodan pick him up, fly him up, drop him on a good
yep. Yeah, yeah. He should have done that. That would have been awesome.
Everybody was holding him down.
All right, so let's briefly talk about the filmmaking and the fights and the special effects and stuff, and then we will get to our actual final thoughts of the film.
Yeah.
And, hint towards what we got next. So who wants to start on the filmmaking stuff?
I think this film was pretty well shot. It's I'm just really happy that they got rid of the guy who did Varen the Unbelievable.
Marissa?
Yeah, that guy had no vision. He didn't have any passion about the project.
Cameron.
And no, it was a real shame like that they got such an amateur to just come in and do Varen the Unbelievable.
Rob.
And then
I just love that they kicked him right off. They were like, you screwed the pooch, man. Yeah, you don't get another
again.
Chance.
And he vanished.
Yes.
He never comes back.
But
never.
Never not
made
even
another
once.
Movie.
But guys.
Disappeared into the depths of the sea.
What?
Oh, yeah. No. Okay. I'm sorry, but I hate to break it to you guys, but this is the same director that did Varen?
No.
Who?
Oh. Ishiro Honda.
Who is that?
I've never heard of this person.
We have never heard of this man.
Here's the thing, that joke is ruined because we talk about like Honda.
Yeah, we already talked about Honda, so they all know you know that.
I
so
I said his name.
It was a bit. Anyway.
But seriously, though, it's like Ishiro Honda was like 7 years old when he made Varen the Unbelievable, and he was 35 when he made this movie. You know, like he'd made some mistakes.
That's a real life experience under his belt.
He just, you know,
well, he had a budget this time.
I think, yeah, he had a budget. That's
we had to
deal.
Fit 11 monsters into it.
But I mean, Ishiro Honda, this movie definitely, he showcases, he does have really good directing talent. I think there's a lot of very good shots. The discussion between, we all brought it up, where there's like a wall with paneling with circle holes
before
in it.
Before the man casually jumps out of a window.
Yeah.
Strolls out of the window.
Strolls out the window, and he framed the shot so that like their floating heads are in the actual rings of the wood paneling.
There's a lot
it's
of...
very, yeah. Very nice.
Very aesthetically pleasing.
There you go. Well, that's the word.
There's a lot of really good shots in this movie, both when it comes to like just humans talking and like the actual monster combat. I think the highlight of like the monster combat for me is the Tokyo attack.
Yeah.
Just because we get to see so many really cool sweeping shots of monsters destroying miniatures, and we get to see a lot of explosions from like military. So they're just shooting bottle rockets at a poor man in a suit.
I thought the Tokyo attack scene was pretty cool. And then a tiny Mothra puppet burst out of a subway station.
And it became amazing, is what you're about to say?
Suddenly it became spectacular.
Yes.
Elevated beyond words.
It was just, you know, there's Godzilla stomping on some buildings, and there's Manda wrapping around a bridge, and where's Mothra? And you know, what would Mothra do in this? Oh, she rides the rails.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. I agree with you. There's a lot of cool monster trick shots in this movie, especially in that Tokyo attack where...
Yeah.
Specifically the Manda scene. That's the most impressive to me. It's like Manda's in the foreground wrapping around the bridge while Godzilla's destroying a refinery in the back. So there's all this... Like, it's really cool because in the back... Godzilla's using his beam, and there's all these pyrotechnics and stuff.
Yeah.
And it makes, even though the Manda scene is very kind of dull, because you're just like, what is Manda doing?
That's what I like. I liked Manda
But the juxtaposition of...
The problem is that the Manda sequence there is immediately followed by Manda, like, slinking along the ground.
Oh, yeah.
During the missile attack.
Yeah, like, they're going to destroy some tanks, and
minutes
Manda
later.
Will never make it.
Yeah, I know.
It's a beautiful shot, but it does need to be said that Godzilla's back there just laying waste, and in the foreground is Manda.
Here I go.
Doing her best.
I'm gonna wrap around this bridge.
Yeah, you're definitely, like, your eye is definitely drawn back to the Godzilla stuff.
Yeah,
I could not take my eyes off of Manda, because I was like, wow, she's wrapping around that bridge.
Well, yeah.
What's she gonna... Oh, she broke it.
She broke it.
This is a really... It's a well-shot film. And the fact that, like, we get to see good filmography, both, like, when humans are talking and not just, like, a lot of... There's not a lot of static shots where it's boring, just, like, people in a room talking.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movement with the camera and a lot of, like, you know, they set it up with, like, that nice triangular look.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a really good job with most of the monster fight sequences. The monster showing up on the island is kind of like just fanfare. Like, hey,
look at them.
They're in their suit. You get a good shot of them. And then the final fight sequence is very, like, it's a very flat plane, and the camera's pulled back most of the time. So they can't do a lot of really cool camera tricks, but it's awesome to see that many, like, kaiju together.
Yeah, they wanted the spectacle of having 11 monsters on the screen, even though there's only 11 monsters on the screen, like, one shot in the movie. But
but it's rad. Yeah, I like it.
Poor KG.
Yeah, let's talk about the fight real quick, because that's what everybody talks about. This is the big brawl.
Yeah, can we talk about
the
11 on one team up?
Yeah,
or whatever.
Like, okay.
Well, I guess it's really only six on one.
It's like five on one.
Some people just were absent.
Yeah,
I don't want to name names.
Kamanga couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
No, Kamanga's
there.
She's there.
She's there.
She's there.
She helped.
Okay. She helped. But
let's count.
Mothra
string-shotted too.
I don't want to break down the fight.
Only
but...
two people that didn't do anything were Varen,
and
who maybe was blowing some wind, and Baragon, who was taking
it. And Manda.
And Manda. Manda showed up.
Manda didn't even show up.
The other two showed up too.
You're right.
No, you see at the same shot where you see Varen come land and Baragon pop up, you see Manda kind of go,
just slither in. That's right. I remember.
Yeah.
Because I swear Manda's face changes every time you see it.
Then again,
range of emotion.
You could attribute the fact that those monsters left, I think this is the fan explanation, to the fact that the mind control got broken and they were the farthest distance away. And so the mind control broke and they were just like, well, I guess I'm going home. And they left. Versus all the other monsters were there, and then Ghidorah showed up, and they're like, I'm going to fight that. Like, you know.
This would be my greatest battle. You know who I was doing the voice of there? Minya.
Darth Minya, you mean?
Darth Minya.
So, who was the mastermind behind it?
So I'll summarize the fight. Like, you know, if it's a wrestling match, you have, like, King Ghidorah roll in, and he starts going toe-to-toe with Anguirus. And Anguirus bites onto his neck and they fly up into the sky and Anguirus makes a hilarious like T pose while holding on to like...
I mean, he's a four-legged creature. Yeah. Like, he's like, oh God, what is going on?
And then he falls.
He falls, breaks through the earth. Then we get like, basically everyone else is like, no one messes with our boy. They show up and we get like a big fight with like Godzilla and Gorosaurus and a Rodan flew by at one point.
Rodan really doesn't show up to do much because he gets blasted by Ghidorah and flies away.
Yeah. Actually, he stands on the ground at one point when Ghidorah's on the ground already. And he's just like waving his arms.
He's trying to use his
flapping.
Wind. Yeah.
I don't know what that was.
He was trying to blast him with wind.
He's trying to look bigger to intimidate the predator.
There you go.
Definitely what he was doing.
But yeah, the big final like climactic ending to it is they Gorosaurus
kicks him.
Yeah. Well, they all get around him. So you have Anguirus is biting on a chunk of him. You have Godzilla on one end, and then Gorosaurus walks up, like runs up and does like a drop kick to like his back.
The kangaroo kick.
kick to the back. Captain Kangaroo kicks to the back of
Rob, you're not doing it justice. Gorosaurus comes up and uses his ultimate finishing move.
Kangaroo kick. Boom! Right in the spine. Knocks him to the ground.
Ghidorah drops like a bag of rocks.
Like a bag of golden rocks.
And then they just like
start stomping him.
Can we call this a fight?
Godzilla was just shouting in the background, World
this was
Star.
A massacre.
It really is. It really is a massacre.
World Star.
World Star.
This was Ghidorah.
That was Minya. That was Minya the entire time. World Star.
This was Ghidorah leaving the monster crew. And it's only one way you leave the monster crew. You got to get beat out the monster crew.
But that's the thing is like, it's really a one-sided fight for the 12 monsters or 11 monsters, 10 monsters, I guess.
The five monsters that participate.
The Googleplex monsters.
Ghidorah has always been a monster that Godzilla cannot defeat alone. I feel like this was a little overkill. Like, I think it is best when it's like, okay, there's three heads, so you've got three monsters fighting Ghidorah. Or
someone gotta take a head.
In Monster Zero, it's Rodan and Godzilla versus King Ghidorah. So like, I feel like it's better when it's just like a little less, because this fight is really kind of just ridiculous. Ghidorah really doesn't get, other than the dropping of Anguirus, he doesn't really get any good pot shots on
him. He gets off one gravity beam.
Yeah.
Wham! And then they're like, we got to shut that down right
now. No.
Start biting the necks.
Here's the thing, though. How many times has Godzilla fought Ghidorah at this point?
Two.
Fought him enough.
So it's 1960.
No, he's just like, you know what? We're not going to waste any time. I'm going to bring all of my boys.
Yeah, I got the team on my back.
Everybody.
Gonna get the whole crew to roll out.
Whole squad, let's go.
Yeah.
And it is definitely a death of King Ghidorah too, which is interesting.
Oh, he's dead.
That was
then
this,
he falls into the earth.
This was originally supposed to be the last appearance of Ghidorah in the show Godzilla series. And then they brought him back.
That would have been anticlimactic end to King Ghidorah.
Yeah, he got wailed on by nine other monsters.
They brought him back
just leave the monster squad.
They brought him back for Godzilla versus Gigan.
Yeah.
Guys, you're forgetting that like when I say it's anticlimactic, I'm talking about the fact that he gets taken by Minya's like smoke ring. The final blow.
I refuse to believe that had anything to do with his
defeat. He broke that final neck,
it like
and that was
up,
the one that
breathed. And then just twists it. And
there's
then...
that No way.
Yeah.
That can't wait. Be a neckbreaker.
You know what we just forgot, though, is the whole boring ending sequence of the movie after the fight.
We don't have to talk about that.
We talked about that in the plot breakdown.
Okay.
So the biggest thing about this big spectacle fight is that it is a huge deal for, like, the time. And, like, it definitely is. You can see why it gets hyped up even to this day.
Everybody loves Destroy All Monsters, this giant,
all the Toho monsters in one movie, which is why they tried to remake it with Final Wars. And
remember how excited we all got for Freddy versus Jason?
Yeah.
Nobody thought it was going to be good, but everybody still saw it.
Yep.
Remember how excited we all got for Alien versus Predator?
Through the roof, I was.
I'm still excited about those movies.
I'm still excited.
At least the games are good.
Versus Predator.
God, the games are good.
Yeah.
Anyway, the big spectacle, the fight itself is probably not the most exciting Godzilla fight that we've seen in any of the movies, really, even some of the other Showa films, but...
Probably the most hilarious.
It is, and it does have its merits just on the fact that there's so many monsters fighting, and there's this monster's doing its special attack, this one's doing its special attack, Ghidorah's... like ignoring the string shots from the two of them. You know, there's a lot of cool sequences.
You know
sequences
what's funny is
fight.
Ghidorah's dead on the ground and they're still shooting string celebratory.
Oh yeah, it's a celebratory.
Well,
yeah.
You know, at that point they're just shooting their guns in the air, just like yeah,
we did it,
we are winners,
heroes.
So do we want to talk about the music?
Just briefly. Excuse me.
I'll show you music.
Yeah, I want to talk about music.
Let me just sing the song.
Let me just scat my way through this.
Sorry. It's tired and I'm late.
Oh, no.
Let's talk about the music really briefly. It's one of the better... Actually, I don't know. It's really not one of the best Ifukube scores out there. Like, it... reuses a lot of music, obviously.
The entire soundtrack to Vera and the Unbelievable
is in this movie.
In shorter bits.
Yeah, it's not as annoying in this one. Although there's a lot of songs that get reused a lot of times in this movie. I think that's my problem with this soundtrack, really, overall, is that it reuses its own songs too much. It's one thing to have a theme for your movie, like a very specific song that is the theme of your movie overall, and you continuously... reuse it.
Yeah.
In this one, it's like there's three songs and they use it over and over and
over.
Yeah,
I feel like they use the one March song like four times.
Yeah, they only use one March song, one of the three March songs in this movie.
Just anytime anyone's moving.
Yeah.
Play that March song.
Yeah.
I thought that the music was cut in unintentionally hilarious ways.
Yeah, like you were talking about
when the laser,
it's
really intense and the laser shuts off and the music just stops dead.
Yeah, it doesn't
and
fade out. It just stops.
Yeah, and they're just like, we're fixing it. We're good. All right, let's go. And then the music just immediately starts up again.
I mean, Veron the Unbelievable did that too. I don't know if you heard that, but it was a treasure.
We may still have something else to say about the music, but for the audience members out there, we are watching the 50th anniversary or whatever it's called of Destroy All Monsters, the DVD release. There's some contention on what's the best version of the film.
This can't be the 50th anniversary.
Whatever.
Yesterday
it's
the 25th
anniversary. I don't know what it says on the case. I already put it away.
Close enough.
I was like, hold on. Did we jump into the future?
No. It was 50th anniversary, not of Destroy All Monsters, but 50th anniversary of Godzilla is, I think, what the DVD was trying to be. So it was like...
maybe they rounded it up.
Yeah, quite a bit. As most Godzilla fans know out there, there's not a Japanese version in America ever. There's never been a Japanese version released with subtitles. Even the Blu-ray release that everybody talks about is the best dub does not have the Japanese version with subtitles on
it. If you go to Japan and buy the Japanese version and bring it home, it will turn to dust.
Yeah, it literally disintegrates. Apparently.
The second you cross the
line. Because no one... Usually you can find a fan dub, but there isn't one as far as I've seen for
Destroy
All Monsters.
Well, I'm going to tell you what happened. A witch put a curse on all of the Blu-rays. They cannot cross the sea.
Pandora strikes. Her final act of evil.
Yep. Oh my god. But yeah, anything else to say about the soundtrack real quick or before we move on to final thoughts?
There's horns.
There's horns.
There's horns in it, and there's also horns on King Ghidorah.
There you go.
There you go.
That's the end of the story.
The end. We did it.
All right.
Solved it.
Round table. Who wants to start
final
with final
thoughts?
Here
we go. I like this movie. Controversial. It's
so controversial.
It was a pretty big...
I disagree! Slams hand on table.
It was a pretty big jump up from, like, Varon. It
does not take much to be better than
No,
Varon.
It doesn't. But, like, what a palate cleanser. Yeah. And because this had everything that I want from, like, a Showa movie. It has a funny-looking spaceship with fire that, you know, like, comes up most of the way.
With drawn on rotoscoped fire. You
know. Yeah.
It's got monster fights. But a lot of them.
All at once.
Both the big fight sequences are really cool. Personally, I think the highlight for me was the Tokyo attack sequence, both because the fight sequence itself is really cool, but then the very, very end where we see the destruction and like what's left of Tokyo afterwards, you really feel the impact of a bunch of giant kaiju-sized monsters fighting in a, you know, populated area. There's like two or three sequences with green screen where it's like big, thick black outline, but like you get to see people being like, it's a monster, and pointing at it and seeing humans on the ground looking at monsters as they run away. And that was missing from the last movie. So primo stuff.
What was the last movie?
Baron.
Baron.
The Unbelievable. It was unbelievable, honestly. My opinion, I guess, because
dead silence.
Yeah, Kyle's glaring at me now.
That's too many unbelievables for one podcast. Anyway, Marissa,
what?
Final thoughts.
I know.
She just checked out. She's like, well, that's it. She's packing her bags. She's walking out the door.
I'm leaving on a jet plane.
Okay.
I really enjoyed this movie. I don't look for very specific things like I'm sure a lot of people do when they're watching giant monster films. I seek to be entertained. You don't have to work very hard to entertain me, but I also get annoyed really easily. So I ride a fine line between this is fun and oh my God, I'm going to murder this director. And this movie was pretty fun. There was just enough ridiculousness to support all the freaking monsters. Space fire and
moon fire.
You know, I don't think I spoke enough about how strange it was that there was fire in space. But if you want to hear Marissa talk about how strange it was that there was fire in space,
read her blog.
Follow me on Twitter. Like my Instagram. I don't have any of these things.
She doesn't do any of those.
I really enjoyed this movie. It was very entertaining. Congratulations, Mr. Honda, for finally growing up.
I think he grew up when he made G54. And then he, Baron,
I guess he just worked so hardcore on G54 that he was in some dark state, and then he just regressed into a 12-year-old boy and made Varen the Unbelievable.
To be fair, Varen the Unbelievable came out in a weird time in Toho. It was when they were trying to not make Godzilla films. They were trying to do their own things. Mm. So they were trying to, like... You know, that's why they did Rodan. That's why they did Mothra. That's why they did Gargantua.
Didn't
Frankenstein
this guy
Conquers
also
the World,
do the Mysterians? Space
Amoeba, Dogra. Yeah, he did Mysterians.
And he did Matango.
He did Matango. He did multitudes of Godzilla films.
So he's got all these like
leading up to
cult films that he, you know, people really love. And then he also did Varen the freaking believable.
Well, but I mean,
you can't win every time.
You really can't. Even the best directors have their flops.
It really does seem like it was just a budget issue with that. Like, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah,
when,
you
like,
can't.
The rug's
you can't do much with $200 in a box of hefty bags.
Yeah.
Cameron,
weren't there, Cameron.
This seems like the quintessential Showa movie. Like, it's got, you know, all the stuff. Yeah. X versus Y.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the movie, like, there is a story, but really, it's just they fight.
You don't care about the story.
Who cares about
the
story?
The story's stupid. Aliens, whatever.
They know you don't care about the story. Yeah.
That's why they made the alien space slugs who live in rocks.
Yeah, well,
these are definitely
the
most complicated aliens in the entire Godzilla series.
They have such a precise set of... They're worse than chameleons. They have such a precise set of needs.
Yeah.
How can they survive anywhere?
I'm just weirded out by the fact that whenever they turn into their slug form again, a rock appears.
There's always rocks.
They're
don't
always
worry
they're actually carrying a rock behind them at all times.
At all times.
Just in case their physical body just...
It's a little rock with a little hole for a space slug.
But I like just the sheer volume, the sheer the cubic feet of monsters in this movie. And I like that it gave us the money shot, like where it's just like, here's everybody in this movie on screen at once.
Yeah.
And then five of them are just gonna
disappear.
Don't worry about it, it's fine.
Manda just leaves.
Or
like,
was
I can't
she ever that there?
That's a good point.
Oh, it's man all in Godzilla's head.
Godzilla wakes up in class. The teacher's calling on him.
And he's just in his underwear.
Oh, no. Dreams on, dreams on, dreams.
Yeah, so my final thoughts on the movie. I like this film. It's always a good time watching this movie. It's nowhere near the top of my Showa list of my favorite Showa films, but just I can understand why people really like this film and say it is their favorite. I mean, just like I said, the spectacle of having them all on the screen at the same time, having them all fight each other, having the really good Tokyo Attack where you have four different monsters attacking at the same time. Well, give or take.
Three and a half.
Yeah, three and a half. Yeah, I mean, it's... This movie is a spectacle, and I can see why, you know, like Gareth Edwards was talking about wanting to make a Destroy All Monsters at some point in the Legendary universe. And I feel like that's probably still going to be the end goal, is to do something crazy like that, where they're just like, hey, remember how we did Godzilla vs. King Kong and Rodan and Mothra in the last film? Now they're all in the same film together! And they're just going to throw in a bunch of monsters that we probably haven't even seen yet. Into
and the
movie.
Same Varan on a stick.
Yes.
The same one.
Yeah, I mean, this movie... doesn't use a lot of stock footage. I mean, it uses some, but I was impressed by the fact that it doesn't use much.
Yeah.
I think this is before they really just lost most of their money in the Showa series. This is probably before they really started cutting back on things.
There were some dark times for Toho.
We are, like, this movie is on the cusp of the dark Toho times. Like, when they lost a lot of their budget, they lost a lot of their... Like, Ishiro Honda didn't come back and direct. They got a lot of secondary directors to come in and take over. But anyway, this movie, it's enjoyable. It's fun. There's no reason to not watch this movie if you can find it. It is kind of hard to find, like I was kind of describing earlier.
But that's part of the fun.
Yeah, right?
Go to your local video rental place. Oh.
Oh, wait.
Well, that's not a problem for me.
If you live in hipstervilles, like scattered across the
Austin,
USA.
And they probably have a few in Portland.
Oh, they have.
Oregon.
Tons.
They're like Starbucks in Portland.
I was up in Alpine, Texas just the other weekend.
They still have a Hollywood video up
there. No, it's called like Video Hole or something. It was rad. I was like really excited.
That's
and
a
I
great
wandered
name.
Around for a little bit.
Video hole.
So, yes, check it out if you can. We need to definitely wrap this up. I know we've gone a little long here. So, as always, we like to give little hints to what we're doing in the next month. Cameron, do you want to talk about what we're doing for the next two movies in June?
We're
going
to have to go way down.
We're going across the Pacific.
Yeah.
We're going to Hollywoodland.
Skull Island.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No,
it's in the Pacific.
It is in the Pacific.
But it's to the...
I went the opposite direction and that hit
it. It doesn't matter. It's fine.
We're going to watch an American movie.
Yay.
We're going to watch two American movies. You're going to love it.
What are they called?
Drop some hints. Don't give the names. Drop some hints.
So we're going to watch Beast from 20,000 Fathoms and Gorgo.
Oh.
Well, that wasn't very exciting. You could have built
Beast
those
of 20,000 Fathoms.
And Gorgo the Unbelievable.
I was going to do it.
No, wait. That's... I'll let it out. Everything she just said. You do it again.
No, you should leave this back and forth.
No, I'm leaving it all in, but I'm going to say that I'm going to cut it out.
Make up an imaginary person. Tom cut all this.
Like we can afford an
Tom.
Editor. Anyway, so as Cameron said, or Cameron and Marissa said,
we are doing it again, Cameron.
A really hardcore classic, which is Beast from 20,000 Fathoms.
Yep.
The movie that inspired Godzilla.
Going straight to
this
the
is, this is
this is
a big deal. This is a big movie, to be perfectly honest.
I don't like it.
Never said it was a good one, but Cameron just looked real insulted.
Spoilers, it ends on a roller coaster.
Yeah. I have twisted my face. My hand is on my chest.
I'm sorry.
He's clutching his pearls,
and
y'all.
Appalled.
And then the one we're doing after that is Gorgo, which is a kind of a cult classic within the fan community, I feel like. It's one that a lot of people probably haven't even seen.
But it's worth seeing.
It's worth seeing. It's real good. I know it was made in America, but it's basically the UK's Godzilla film, is the way I would describe it.
It takes place in the UK. It's basically the similar...
Yeah.
But the director hated it. And I love watching movies the director hates.
Because in this case, it's not like Varan. It actually is kind of a decent movie, but the director just hated it. But anyway, so we're doing Beast from 20,000 Fathoms and Gorgo next. We're real excited to talk about those. Like I said, Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. Whether you like it or not, which will, when we get to watching it, it is a big deal. It's kind of a big monster movie.
Historic.
Very historic. Anyway, as always, we got to do our plugs here. Go to TokyoLivesPodcast.com. Go to iTunes, search for Tokyo Lives. You'll find us there. Leave us a review. If you leave us a review, we will read it on the podcast.
We have a Twitter.
We have a Twitter. Search Tokyo Lives Cast. That's where we are on there. And of course, we also have a Facebook. Go just search Tokyo Lives. You'll find us there. Anyway, guys, we will see you next time when we're talking about Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. That will be at the beginning, middle of June, somewhere in there.
Yes.
We will have a good time with it, I think. I'm pretty sure for at least that first episode, as Marissa said, she's already kind of given her opinion on that movie.
I have checked out of that episode.
Yeah, so it's going to just be me, Rob, and Cameron for that first episode. Gorgo,
mine,
I think
mine.
We'll...
All yours, Cameron.
You can all get out. I'll watch it myself.
Do the entire podcast. Well, Cameron, what'd you think? I thought it was great. Thanks, Cameron.
Cameron, as usual, you're wrong.
But Gorgo, I think we'll all be back together again for Gorgo towards the end of the month. And then we've got some good movies lined up, but I'm not going to hint towards that yet.
I cannot wait.
I hope to see you guys next time. Like I said, definitely just comment on the site or Reddit or wherever you find our post. And we will be happy to interact with you and talk with you. And yeah. All right, guys. Have a good night.
See ya. Bye, everyone.
Signing off.
Wait, Kyle. Can we rename the podcast Video Hall?
No.
Okay, I'm feeling good. Are you feeling good?
I'm
you guys,
good. Marissa, you good?
You guys feeling drunk? You guys feeling ready?
I'm not drunk at all.
Yeah, I'm really
sober,
not drunk.
Actually.
Yeah. How are you guys all sober?
We weren't drinking from our baby bottles of whiskey.